This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Okay, welcome to the cast and crew, the filmmakers of Due Date. And we're going to go ahead and open the questions with question number one.
Yes, hi, my name is Teresa. I would like to know, this is for Zach and Robert. The slogan that you're using is leave your comfort zone. Which one is your comfort zone?
Which one?
Robert, Zach?
My comfort zone is press conferences.
Perfect.
Conversely, mine actually is press conferences.
Thank you.
Okay. We have the second question was...
Hi, Michelle, you're reunited here with Robert Downey for the first time since Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Can you talk about what's been your life for the two of you since then? You see each other very often and why you wanted to do this movie. And Robert, Zach was very funny in Toronto talking about the two alpha males, you and Todd, creating this movie as he sat and watched. Can you talk about the character and how it developed for this?
You first, lady.
Yeah, obviously, I'm very, very excited and jumped at the opportunity to work with Robert again.
She did us a favor.
Yeah, no. You know, I adore Robert. I had such an amazing experience on Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, so this was really exciting for me. And obviously, I'm a huge fan of Todd, and Zach's all right. So I was very excited, and yes, I do get to see Robert occasionally, and it's a nice mug to see.
Yeah.
And Robert?
Yeah, I got it pretty good, and I don't want to offend our spouses, but I'd love to have a baby with Michelle.
In creating this character?
In preparation for the character, so I missed the shot to do it. I should have tried it 9 months ago.
Zach, is this character closer to your stand-up persona than the other film characters you've played?
No, I don't think that Ethan Tremblay is anything like me. I kind of hope not. My stand-up is more like how I am in real life. I don't really do a character thing in stand-up. It's just a bunch of sentences that are supposed to be funny. This Ethan guy is a lot more complicated, I think.
So there's a reason he says random sentences that end up being funny.
Yes, yes.
Which is?
Oh, do you want me to perform right now?
your take on the character, what are his reasons for being that?
Well, his reasons are not intentional, I think. I mean, when you're doing stand-up, you're kind of doing, hey, I thought of this. This may be funny. But Ethan has no idea he's being funny. And I think people that... are not self-aware and kind of a truck with no brakes is really kind of funny. He's saying things, but he doesn't understand why they're funny, which I think is inherently funny.
This is for Robert. How much fun was it to go punch that kid and, like, you know, working with kids in general?
I love that we've actually gotten more pushback from spitting in a dog's face than from punching a human child in the stomach. Those were really two things. Todd told me to do both of them, and one of them he said on the day, he said, you should just spit in that dog's face. And I was like, yeah. Anyway, he goes, no, I want you to spit in the dog's face. I said, that's so definitive. He goes, I know, but I think people will like you enough. Or I don't know if they will, just spit in his face. And he loves dogs, and I actually don't like dogs, so I felt kind of horrible and splendorous. Doing it. There was a question there somewhere, but I'm sure whatever I said was far more entertaining.
Well, Zach, did you have a problem with the spitting in the dog's face? That was your dog.
Jesus Christ, dude, answer the question.
Maybe.
Yes or no? A dog made you sick.
The dog, I didn't like the dog. I don't think you need to, that doesn't mean it's okay to spit. Robert spit in my face every morning. Plus, the dog and I have a certain bond.
Masturbation.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I'm bringing the room down too much, but this movie is really about fatherhood, becoming a father, losing a father. Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. You know, while it is it is a road movie and it is a comedy at its core. It's a movie about, you know, Zach who's going through a trauma, Zach's character, Ethan Tremblay, having just lost his father, and Robert who's about to become the father for a first time, and kind of why they needed to meet at this moment and why Robert needed to travel with this kind of man-child who was going through this traumatic experience, but really is a purely loving creature, much like a child would be, just needed to just needed some adjustments, I guess, and yeah.
But why did that story resonate with you and with you guys?
Don't answer that, Todd.
I refuse to answer that question.
I'll tell you. No, it actually is very personal, maybe. But
no, I mean, I think it's just an interesting take on you know, for me personally, it was, you know, it's an interesting movie to make. I tend to make films about, you know, I started making movies about college kids. I sort of grow with my movies. They're sort of always about my age range, it feels, and, you know, that's sort of, you know, the next step in life, having a kid or what have you, and fatherhood, so it just seemed like an interesting thing to mine, both for emotion and for comedy.
Actually, sort of a follow-up for that, Robert. I wondered if maybe you were channeling a bit of Todd in this, or the look for your character.
Oh, I'm actually glad you asked that, because I think that every time I feel that I really hit critical mass and I'm in the right place is when I feel like the director and I become a third thing, and that's the character. And even though the central subject of the movie is Ethan, the person who you're kind of seeing it through is Peter, and absolutely, and particularly when he said this is just a lot of hostility and there's a lot of fear, and his kind of attitude and his anger is covering that fear and stuff, and we like to commiserate. We're genuinely pretty happy guys, but we love just getting crabby together, and you remember that, don't you? And he is kind of like a hostage child that we've taken, who's watching mom and dad, or dad and dad nowadays, right, just hash it out. You're the first person who's asked that, and I think it's absolutely true. I always feel like I'm playing an aspect of the director, particularly when he's an auteur, and when it's a way of almost making him a proud parent. I'm a bit of an appendage of some aspect of the director.
Guy Ritchie,
yes. I just say yes to Guy Ritchie. Yeah, Guy in a way, a bit more of the kind of British, you know, smart fighter type thing.
For the cast and for the crew, the film evokes, in a not unwelcome way, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and its pairing and its plot. I'm curious what classic road film you all were thinking of as sort of mental templates or inspiration for the feel of the film.
Well, I'll go first, and I'll just say, you know, the movie we talked about most, oddly, was Rain Man. I see that to me is a road movie and a great road movie, and that was a movie that came up a lot, as well as Midnight Run. Of course, there are comparisons.
Midnight Run,
but there's comparisons with Planes, Trains, and Tommy Boy, and other things. But I think the movie we talked about most was Rain Man.
And Michelle was saying Wages of Fear quite a bit, too. Did you say something about that?
I did.
Hope these guys don't blow up the studio. Your ridiculous notions.
The Riders, you guys? I mean,
well, Todd said it right when Alan and I, when we were thinking a lot of road movies, but Midnight Run was absolutely one that we thought about. And you get two characters who are opposite of each other, and they're stuck in a very high pressure situation and a very out of their comfort zone, and you get to reveal love of the character in those situations.
Well, of course, Michelle, you're only seen in person. Was it kind of an interesting predicament for you? I mean, you're on this table, legs up, so on, and you've got...
Been there, done that.
With them?
No.
No.
Just me.
This isn't weird science. She's not Kelly LeBrock. Everybody isn't fucked the way they used to. Let's be civil about this. Sorry, Alan Nirob, I'm sorry. Clean that shit up later.
It's hard to follow that. For Todd and Robert and Zach, can you talk a little bit about how you worked out or developed scenes together on this, and also if it does resonate with audiences, would you like to see a franchise out of this, or are your franchise dance cards full?
Yeah, well, I mean, I, the way we worked it out is the way I've done it on all my movies, but this film in particular had an interesting process because Robert has a very producerial brain. He is basically another writer in the room. Zach is really an empty vessel, and he just sits and waits. But Robert and I had lots of spirited discussions every morning about, you know, we had the pages, and he'd go, okay, what are we really doing? And, you know, not to discredit the writing process, of which I was part of too, but we would just...
It's a great script, which made me hate it all the more.
Yeah, Robert has an aversion to things that are typed, I've learned. So even if we just rewrote the actual scene...
Well done, by the way, fellas.
If we just rewrote it on a napkin, even if it was the same scene, he felt better about it. But no, we took it apart, and Robert, the great thing about Robert is he constantly, and I've said this before, he made me a better director, and the reason for that is he's constantly challenging what we're doing every day in the larger, bigger picture of it. A lot of times, you know, you hear about actors and they're worried about their lines and their thing, and Robert thinks of the movie as a whole. He thinks of every character in the movie as a whole, and that's what I mean by producerial kind of approach to it. And for me, it was an unequaled experience. I just never experienced anything like it, and I don't know. I think that was the process. You witnessed a lot of it.
Yeah, I think each morning was there was a meeting. I would read the minutes from the last meeting. Todd yells, Robert yells back, let's get on with the new meeting. No, there was a discussion for at least about an hour each morning, it seemed like, sometimes longer.
Sometimes three.
Yeah, and it really helped it really did. And as far as the franchise stuff goes, we were kind of fantasizing at the last day. It was the last day of certainly that I was working. I can't remember, but it was also towards the last scene, or it was the last scene at the hospital. There's a moment, and I don't know if you recall, where Ethan says to Peter, "Call me."
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'm like, "No, call me tomorrow," or whatever I said. And we were fantasizing, like, I've never seen a movie jump genres, so the sequel would be more like a Cape Fear thing, where my character is actually not dumb at all. It's just been an act,
elaborate ruse
this whole time.
I like
I'm there
that.
To stalk
I mean,
Robert's family.
I mean, I also think what I thought you were going to say and what would be interesting is you just pick it up literally from the minute later. You know what I mean? Like instead of jumping a month or a year,
yeah,
it's literally like from that moment you left.
Yeah,
right.
That would be fun.
That would be great.
There you go. That's how ideas are.
Can we hear from you on that about the franchise and also about the process?
Yeah, that's what I need is three franchises so I can utterly have a personality meltdown and no real life. But I would do it with these guys. I have to say, too, there was something so cathartic about, and as we all know from both the writers and Michelle peripherally and our involvement in it, but I think just it was the most healing project I've ever worked on, and I've never come up against anyone who is so confident and so thoughtful and so spontaneous that it's not even daunting. He's just in a class by himself, and I think Todd is the best director I've ever worked with, bar none.
Oh, did you all get that?
And don't forget about the part before that. Which I thought he was talking about you the whole time. And then he switched over.
Okay, this question is for the writers. It's a great story, but I see a lot of similarities with some other comedies, like a strong friendship between men that causes problems with your partner and stuff like that. Is part of a passion? Like a new comedy? The new American comedy or something like that?
Can you repeat the last part?
I see a lot of similarities with some other comedies that I have seen lately.
So buddy movies as kind of a new genre,
yeah,
for American film.
Basically.
If it's a new genre.
It's been a while, I think. There's certainly with The Hangover, there's been a lot of attention to it recently. It's been very successful, but I don't know if it's new.
Yeah, I mean, I think, the buddy comedy has been around for a long time just because there's always great comedies to be mined from two guys in conflict. And, you know, Todd always, from the beginning, summed this movie up best when he said it's a buddy comedy without the buddies. And I feel like that's really what it comes down to. It's two guys stuck together that have anti-chemistry, you know, that are just at every step of the way. They have completely different worldviews and are totally at odds, and, you know, that's always a great place. That kind of conflict, I think, always creates great comedy.
Did you write Todd in, or did he write himself in the script, his scene?
I'm going to answer because, no, I did. We did write her. I wrote myself in that morning. It was never in their hands.
By the way, what is it that you're whispering to Juliette Lewis? I've been trying to quote it verbatim.
That is called great acting. It's understated.
Unintelligible, yet to me, the best single line in the movie, even because I can't even tell you what you're saying.
I said, did you remember to tape Judge Mathis? And she says, yeah, it's on there. I just look on the menu. I'm like, that's it.
A question for Mr. Downey. Often modern protagonists get sanded down and focus grouped into this kind of vanilla blandness.
Yeah.
Was it refreshing and a pleasure to play somebody with so many real yet repellent moments in their arc?
Absolutely, and I don't know why, but it was an invitation to me to get in touch with everything that annoys me about everyone and all the fear I have about everything that everybody can relate to. So in a way, I felt like I was a conduit to this. It wasn't very pleasant to pull that. Sorry, by the way, because I don't know why. I'm not a method guy. I can't be bothered to have a method. I just want to be part of a good movie, and I can't stand being surrounded by morons. But we had such a great group of people, and the whole thing, it's funny, because, yeah, you could say this is a two-dimensional commercial comedy. I feel that this is the second greatest story ever told.
The first.
Oh, come on! The Bible.
Going back to what you were just saying, can you talk a little bit about Juliette Lewis? Because she's had a great year of cameos, and if you do the Cape Fear thing, would she be?
She's got to be.
She would, but I don't think Zach could fit his finger in her mouth.
Does he have a swollen finger?
I love. No,
wait, you got to hand him the baton there. Do you want a piano?
At least my father didn't leave me.
Oh.
Okay, the news is out. That's what the father issue is about. There it is.
No, I love Juliette Lewis, and she's been in three of my movies now, or four, and you know, she's one of those people, and Michelle's the same way, quite honestly. This movie's about these two guys, and you know, the other parts in the film aren't a huge deal, aren't huge pieces, and Robert said it best, Michelle did us a favor. She came in, and she worked for those days, and she brought what she brings, and she's amazing. But and Juliet, the same thing. Jamie Foxx, Danny McBride. You know, I like to think they're actors. They like to play. You know, so if it's a 2-day part for Juliet or a 1-day part for Danny McBride, you call them up and they say, "Hey, I'm doing this great thing with Robert and Zach. Would you come down and just fuck around for the day? We're gonna have fun." And I think, you know, ultimately that's how it works. But Juliet in particular is just stupendous, and she's sort of sunshine to me when I look at her, and I think she brings so much to, you know, small roles and large roles.
I love how riveted she is by your monologue, too. You'd have thought she was hearing, like, so Olivier good. Break one on. She's just, like, mystified.
Good morning. This is for Todd and Zach, and I'm very tempted to ask a Mel Gibson question, but instead I'm going to look to the future, and there was a note in Details magazine that you mentioned about a John Belushi project with possibly Zach involved, and that's just a delicious prospect. I wonder if you could both talk about that for a moment, of what that would mean to get that made.
Well, it's not something Zach and I have really talked about, and I didn't know I don't know that I ever said, you know, here's the deal, I'm not going to Zach with it, and I'm feeling good. No. No, the truth is, that's a project that, I'm kidding.
Who is your casting choice?
Anybody but Zach. No, the truth is, that's a project, like a lot of projects you're developing, you're talking about. I'm working with this phenomenal writer, Steve Conrad, who wrote Pursuit of Happiness, and Zach, honestly, is the guy we talk about. But Zach and I haven't spoken about it. It's so in its nascent stages that I'm not sure, you know, when that thing comes to fruition, if Zach would be interested or if what, you know, so we'll see.
Robert, with upcoming news, how do you feel about Iron Man 3 going to Disney?
Love it. What does that mean?
That it'll be released under Disney's deal with Marvel.
Well, you know what? I really loved our relationship with Paramount, but to me the main thing, I don't care about any of that. They're going to make all those moves. I just want to make a great movie. And thanks to my tutelage under two guys who know how to play with power, Zach and Todd, I know exactly what to do with Iron Man 3.
Love it.
That was almost mad with power, that mind delivery. Thank you.
Did you want to pick the next question?
Hi, I'd like to ask about Benson, the robot and Zach's character. They kind of doesn't match each other in the first place, but it's kind of, you know, the friendship built up. So do you guys have any kind of, now it's friend, but used to be kind of,
like this kind of relationship that
you guys have, and what's the
definition
of friendship
for
you guys?
Mm-hmm. To me, friendship means loving tolerance.
I think Robert and I formed a friendship on this movie, and albeit a very antagonistic but fun relationship. He's really kind of very, very funny, and he makes fun of people a lot. And for some reason, I like to be made fun of, even if it has to do with my fingers not fitting in someone's mouth. That's really hilarious.
This is for Todd and Robert and Zach. People get hired and fired from movies all the time. Can I get a reaction to how big that whole thing blew up?
For
The Hangover
2? Yeah, I mean, just to clarify, no one was ever fired. It's a term that is so obscene to me. Someone was doing me a favor to come in for a 2-minute cameo, and we changed it. I mean, it wasn't like we fired somebody. He was doing a favor from the beginning, you know what I'm saying?
So did the papers get it wrong?
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're using the term fired, absolutely.
Shocking.
Yeah, to use the term fired in that situation, it's certainly not that, you know.
I like the hired aspect. I mean, how'd you get Liam Neeson? I just don't think of him as a Hangover kind of guy.
Well, you know, as with the intention with Mel, it's the scene is not maybe what you expect in The Hangover. The Hangover 2 will be an epic comedy, but not every scene, just like the first one, is full of comedy. This had a little bit of gravity to it, and I thought both guys really can add that gravity, and you know, and that was where we're at.
That'll be fun. Okay,
For Zach, how was it being on the set of the greatest television sitcom of all time, 2.5 Men? And while we're on the topic, any advice for Charlie Sheen right now?
I've only heard a little bit about what happened with Charlie Sheen. I want to congratulate him from what I've heard. Nice. Now that the holiday season's coming up. But that sitcom acting is tough. You have to hit your mark. It's a tough thing to do, the sitcom.
I'm sorry, you have to hit your marks? That's the challenge?
It was a lot. It was a lot that day for you to memorize and do right on the spot. We showed up and we were shooting it 15 minutes later, and it was a little bit Zach getting thrown
into
their
world. You did a great
job.
As a matter of fact, within the context of that show, I thought it was a very strong cameo.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to be at it all next season.
Those guys at 2.5 Men were just great to have us, and they understood sort of the tone of the movie and take part in it. It was really fun to do.
Question for Zach and Robert. Robert, could you talk a little bit about how Sherlock 2 is going, as well as will you be in Gravity? And Zach, there's an internet viral video going around of an interview with you with this Dallas morning like talk show guy, and it's very reminiscent of Between Two Ferns. If that was real or if that was staged.
Okay. Well, I don't want to waste time talking about other projects. Sherlock 2 is fantastic. We had this idea that we were going to do some viral videos to promote the movie, and then we could barely hit our ass with both hands just to even show up and do the regular press. But the idea was that we were going to have this double inner monologue going about, and we were going to walk down Venice Beach and out to the sand and shake hands and then walk away from each other, and then that would only take an hour to shoot, and then we're going to lay the most awesome double internal voiceover over it, and it would have been, we'll never get to it, the greatest viral video of all time. So just imagine that we had had the time, space, or wherever we want to do that. And we were happy to comment on that because we'd like to know what it would have been.
As far as that video, I don't want to give away the thing. I think sometimes that spoils it if you know.
Mr. Galifianakis and Mr. Downey, which of you would be more likely to break up horribly in the middle of a take? And after each of you give your justifications, I'd like Mr. Phillips to weigh in with the verdict.
By the way, let me just thank you for standing up each time that you ask a question. Shows a bit of respect. But you stand up so quickly and so much energy, I forget the question. So can you read?
Who's more likely to break up in the midst of a take?
Let me put it this way. I'm 85 times more professional than Zach.
That's me, yeah.
But I also, I was hoping that we'd have some good gag reels, so maybe I'd chuckle a little bit more. He might not actually know how funny he is sometimes, too.
Yeah, and Zach doesn't really break up. He just goes, he'll read his line halfway, and then he goes, and start it, right?
He has a ghastly tic. It's my favorite thing about him, to tell you the truth, particularly when we're doing press, and it takes him 45 years to answer one question. And he's trying to think about what the answer is, and then he stutters, and then he judges himself, and then he starts over.
And he starts over, and that would make Robert laugh.
So Sonny, stop it. We're going to be late. I'm sorry. Sonny, late it. We're going to be... Sonny, stop it. Stop it, Sonny. Stop it, Sonny. We're going to be late. Stop it, Sonny. And I'm there. The film is just rolling, and I'm just like, this is an anthropological study. I've never seen fucking anything like it. And now what are we supposed to do? What's my reaction? When will you be done? That will be my cue. It's indeterminable.
I know my face is turning red. I don't want you to interpret it as being embarrassed. It's rage. The color of my face is rage.
Colin, Zach, can you talk a little bit about the opportunity that's been opened up for you as with the success of The Hangover? And then also, Zach, I saw your character being portrayed at Halloween last year and also at a Flaming Lips concert I went to last year. Can you talk about sort of that iconic character being in Halloween costume?
I was in Albuquerque. We were shooting a due date in Albuquerque last year for Halloween, and I went to a Halloween party. I didn't really know anybody. I went with a couple of people from work. And I was just dressed as, you know, like this. And there was a guy there dressed as the character from The Hangover. And I thought it would be interesting to walk up to him and say, hey, you're dressed as me. I'm the real person. And he goes, yeah, right. And he just walked away. so that's a bit freaky. As far as the opening, what was the first part of the...
Opening up opportunities.
Well... Todd has told me of late that I've never thanked him for anything, and I'm here to say that I'm probably not going to do it today. In all honesty, it's strange to have a little bit of Todd helped me. He took a chance, I think, in plucking me out of the stand-up scene, and you know, nobody knows a movie's going to be so big, and we just kind of got lucky, and I'm thrilled that it happened.
For Robert, the Peter character seems to have an awful lot of insight into, for an architect, an awful lot of insight into acting, and I wondered if that might have been part of his background, but also thinking about your character in Tropic Thunder, you seem to take great joy in puncturing the images that actors have. Is there...
I think Todd and I said that his neighbor was a casting director, so he wanted, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I tell you about like when the Guggenheim opened in, you know, 59 or whatever it was, 69, you tell me about what's going on casting your show, and everyone wants to be an actor. But everybody knows that everybody who thinks they want to be an actor and has no chops and is going out of the... I think I'm worried for him. So my fear that this moron that I'm stuck with is actually trying to give him some insight, I'm just mad at him when I give it. But also, I mean, it was a bit... This is a disgusting thing to say, and it speaks to my... it's not as bad now, but my hugely inflated ego at the time. I felt it was my duty to teach this guy to fucking act. But he already knew how. But I taught him.
Last question.
Zach, we all know you as a comedic actor, but you get a pretty shockingly powerful scene in this film in particular. Was it hard to switch gears to play that scene?
Do you mean Danko or Leone? Corleone.
Corleone is great. Good. Are you Dan Corleone?
No, it's not. It's fun to do. I think probably editorially it might be difficult to put together, but I don't know. If you can make people like a bit emotional watching a scene and then make them laugh prior to that, I think that's just, you don't see it that often, and I think Todd got it right. But the whole thing about that scene, the bathroom scene, I guess is what you're talking about, is to me, it's not so much what Ethan does, it's the look on Robert's face that I think sells that. As Robert told me yesterday.
Well, it's true. It's not the action, it's the reaction. And Robert is watching this all happen. And to me, I agree with that. It's just all on Robert's face as he realizes, wait a minute, this guy's actually going through trauma and having a breakdown. So it's very cool to watch.
Well, in summary then, Todd, do you think your actors, the whole process, did everyone leave their comfort zone?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know that Robert leaves his comfort zone, because I think Robert's capable of anything, quite honestly, as an actor. And I think even, you know, Zach has so much that we haven't even seen yet, even in Due Date or in his other roles. So I don't know that we left our comfort zone. I do think what Zach just touched on is the key to Due Date, which is the movie takes these tonal shifts that I don't think you see in a ton of comedies, which for me was the fun part of making it, the challenging part of directing it. And I think for these guys, you know, possibly the challenging part of doing it, where, you know, you're in a bathroom scene, he has a breakdown, this guy's actually feeling emotional, the next scene he's masturbating with his dog. And the audience to stay with us and stay on that ride is what makes the movie connect and work. So that's what I'm most proud of with Due Date.
Well said. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Michelle, can you talk a little bit about Somewhere? Robert, has it been easy to get back into Sherlock?
Sequels are always tough, but we got a great group, and I don't know that we're doing that today. But we're 3 weeks in, and it's already pretty fantastic.
I wanted to know. There's a lot of talk about Gravity, though. I'm really hoping that comes together with you in it. Are you going to be in it?
I don't know.
Sorry, guys. How exciting is the dynamic with Moriarty?
No.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, nice to see you, sir.
All good.